Now it's time for today's word with David Evans.
In our last program, we looked at the joy of the Lord. We started the study in it, and we're going to continue that today as we look at what the joy of the Lord is and how it can affect you as you embrace it.
The thing I want you to remember is that none of this happened without the nation going through a time of captivity. Of that time in captivity, we read in one of the Psalms 137. Let me read of the feelings of Israel while they were under captivity. You probably recognize the words of a popular song some years ago. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees. For our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? They weren't very happy chappies in captivity, any more than we can muster happiness sometimes with the circumstances we face. Our experiences at times are like Solomon's in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, and I love these verses in that book. You know them. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Do you notice a contrast principle occurring over and over in that poem? How could Israel experience the kind of revival they did in Jerusalem that day without the background of 70 years away from the place? The Bible tells us not to despise a day of small things. Why? The answer is that when the days of revival and growth come, the contrast will be so startling that we will greatly praise the Lord. You cannot know resurrection unless you experience death. You cannot experience salvation if you haven't been touched by sin. Angels will never know the joys of salvation because they have never known sin. And that's why God has instructed them to observe us to learn what salvation is all about without them ever being able to experience it. Put your own present situation in front of you for a moment and ask yourself this question. What is the contrast to where I am right now? I tell you, it is what is going to keep you growing. The contrast kept Jesus to the task of enduring the cross. And if you want scripture for that, let me read you from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. If you have a goal, a wonderful goal ahead of you, then you will endure far, far more than if you don't have any vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. There's an incredible piece written by Max Lucado about Jesus. It's called Stubborn Joy. He said, "No man had more reason to be miserable than this one, yet no man was more joyful. His first home was a palace. Servants were at his fingertips. The snap of his fingers changed the course of history. His name was known and loved. He had everything, wealth, power, respect, and then he had nothing. Students of the event still ponder it. Historians stumble as they attempt to explain it. How could a king lose everything in one instant? One moment he was royalty. The next he was in poverty. His bed became at best a borrowed pallet and usually the hard earth. He never owned even the most basic mode of transportation and was dependent upon handouts for his income. He was sometimes so hungry he would eat raw grain or pick fruit off a tree. He knew what it was like to be rained on, to be cold. He knew what it meant to have no home. His palace grounds had been spotless. Now he was exposed to filth. He had never known disease, but was now surrounded by illness. In his kingdom he had been revered. Now he was ridiculed. His neighbours tried to lynch him. Some called him a lunatic. His family tried to confine him to their house. Those who didn't ridicule him tried to use him. They wanted favours. They wanted tricks. He was a novelty. They wanted to be seen with him. That is, until being with him was out of fashion. Then they wanted to kill him. He was accused of a crime he never committed. Witnesses were hired to lie. The jury was rigged. No lawyer was assigned to his defence. A judge swayed by politics handed down the death penalty. They killed him. He left as he came, penniless. He was buried in a borrowed grave, his funeral financed by compassionate friends. Though he once had everything, he died with nothing. He should have been miserable. He should have been bitter. He had every right to be a pot of boiling anger, but he wasn't. He was joyful. He was joyful when he was poor. He was joyful when he was abandoned. He was joyful when he was betrayed. He was even joyful as he hung on a tool of torture, his hands pierced with 6-inch Roman spikes. Jesus embodied a stubborn joy, a joy that refused to bend in the wind of hard times, a joy that held its ground against pain. That's the secret. It's something that you have as a Christian believer. It's right there all the time in your spirit. Like the Holy Spirit, it never leaves you or forsakes your spirit, even when you are going through the greatest time of hell and damnation. It can't be bought or sold. It can't be manufactured by your emotions or your will, except your will to use it and to show it. For much of the time, we fail to communicate or express it, choosing rather to express bitterness or uncontrolled sorrow or sadness. In trial time, its absence can fill us with fear and doubt. But when we discover that we have it, and when we begin to exhibit it, all of a sudden our trials are turned to gold, and we see the purpose of every reverse in our lives. It can cause us to look at death and see life, poverty and see riches, at weakness and experience strength. What is it? What is this thing that links the two contrasts? Well, let's see what happens in Jerusalem when Nehemiah finally speaks after reading. It says, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Jesus said that he had come, that his joy might remain in us, and that our joy might befall. There it is. There's the secret. And it's not even my property to use, it's his. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, let's personalize it as we come to a conclusion and say it together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I love that psalm, which has in time past been turned into a song. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks to you forever. So today, as you listen to me on Heart and Soul, you have a weapon in your hand. You have a weapon in your heart. That weapon that can fight against all depression, all fear. That weapon is joy. You already have it in your spirit as a fruit of the Spirit today. I ask you to reach down into your spirit and lift up that joy and in everything give thanks. And let the contrast that you are facing at the moment give way to the other contrast. Where there is depression, be lifted up. Where there is fear, rejoice and be courageous in him. And today I pray that you will be lifted up as you listen. May God bless you and help you to experience that wonderful, wonderful joy, which is your strength for today and beyond. God bless you.
stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me. Confused at the grace that so fully he proffers me, I tremble to know that for me he was crucified, that for me a sinner he suffered, he bled and died. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me enough to die for me.
Julian Judd then with Christy Alger and I Stand All Amazed. More music ahead on Heart and Song.